There's some good news this week for college football fans. They'll be able to watch Big Ten games this fall. Yesterday, the league reversed its decision to cancel the season because of COVID-19. Mike Pesca is here now, sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
So the Big Ten Conference is one of the most prominent leagues in college sports. It includes big schools like Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska. Why did it change its mind?
Well, you did say good news for college football fans, and that's probably true. The fans love their football. I'm not sure that it's good news for public health. What happened, and there is a reason, it's not just shifting wins or jealousy over the NFL starting and seeming to go well. The league was able to, all leagues were able to, secure rapid testing. So this means that players, it will be known almost immediately or at least within 24 hours if a player tests positive. This gives them a lot more leeway to pull players off the field. However, and especially in a lot of these states in the upper Midwest, the outbreak is far from contained and there still is a lot of risk. They're taking the calculation that the risk is worth the reward, and the reward is big. There's a lot of money at stake. And I don't mean to cast an aspersion about the cynicism of play. Money's important, and this is, I guess, a microcosm of the overall debate between the economy and opening up. Mm-hmm. And right now, this division leaves only the Pac-12 as the one huge division that is saying no college football.
Well, we've already heard that more than 1,800 students at the University of Iowa, which is a Big Ten school, have tested positive for COVID-19. What about college basketball? March Madness, the men's and women's college basketball tournaments were among the first really major events canceled many months ago because of the pandemic. Is there going to be a college basketball season this year?
Again, they say yes. And the idea of making a bubble on the college basketball, which has much smaller rosters, that seems much more doable. I mean, to give you the size, a comparison of the size of college football and college basketball, Texas Tech has had 75 players test positive for COVID-19, their football team. So you might be saying, oh my God, how many players are on Texas Tech's roster if 75 test positive? The answer is well over 100. So we're really talking an order of magnitude. And if the pandemic doesn't come sweeping back with flu season, it would seem that college basketball could follow the pro basketball model, do some bubbling, and maybe have season play and even a tournament.
One of the things that all kinds of leagues have done to try to make things look normal if they've got no fans in the stadiums is they're pumping in fake crowd noise. And I must say, sometimes it actually works pretty well. But the NFL had a problem with that in several games over the weekend. What happened?
Yes. Well, all the leagues are experimenting to one degree or another. And I saw some early soccer games. One of the channels broadcasting it used the fake crowd noise and the other didn't. And when it didn't, it just seemed ghostly and unnatural, meaning that the actual unnatural pumped in crowd noise made it seem more legitimate. But a lot of these audio engineers who are in charge of, you know, making the crowd cheer when a touchdown is scored or boo when a call goes against the home team are either asleep at the switch or pressing the wrong buttons. So you had these specters or whatever the audio specter is of a team going ahead for a score, and they're just being absolutely not even a murmur of consent to that.
I mean, the other option is it could be just really a hard job to do that because it's not really been done in a live setting before. Maybe they're not asleep at the switch. Mike, let's talk about baseball. The LA Dodgers became the first team to clinch a playoff berth with their win last night. But if the Dodgers make it to the World Series, they won't be playing their games in LA. How's that going to work?
Well, the first set of games and 16 teams are making the playoffs. They'll be a home field advantage where the home team plays all the games. And then every team, once they get down to 8, are going to go to 4 bubbles. And then finally, the World Series will be held in one place in the Texas Rangers' new stadium. But the other kind of downside to this is the Dodgers have clinched a playoffs berth, and normally they'd want to play harder to get an actual home field advantage, but there's almost no incentive. So the Dodgers manager has admitted, yeah, we're just going to rest pitchers, try out young players. We're sort of coasting for the rest of the season because it doesn't matter if we're the number one seed or the number 8 seed.
Mike, WNBA players are responding to the $12 million settlement this week between the city of Louisville and the family of Breonna Taylor, the young black woman killed by police in March. Several players are saying the settlement isn't good enough.
Right. And this, you know, echoes a lot of the social justice concerns. Oprah Winfrey taking out a series of billboards calling for the arrest of the police. This is, of course, an issue much bigger than what the WNBA can demand. But we should note that all the leagues have made strides, and I think more than just lip service, to some form of police reform or some form of at least looking inwards as to the state of racism in America. I would say the WNBA leads the way. The WNBA has players who've, you know, taken off the whole season to work for the exoneration of inmates. And in this case, they're really putting themselves out there a little bit more. This is not just a platitude. This is talking about arresting officers of the law for this, for the killing of Breonna Taylor. And in the same way that members of the Atlanta Dream literally came out and protested their owners or one of their owners, the Senator Kelly Loeffler, the WNBA is making as bold a stance as there is in sports.
Here now, sports analyst Mike Pesca. And Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Tanya Mosley. This is Here Now.